Chapter 28. Bezug's apartment was cold, empty. He sat on a stool, elbows propped up on his round table, his head resting in his hands. He cracked his weary eyes open and thumbed through the pages of his tome. The pages of the grand book bound in dark hide leather flipped on their own, each folding slowly over the other, suspended through the air. Bezug uttered a sigh, grabbed the book and flung it through the air. It smacked off the wall and fell to the stone floor.
"What was that?"
Ben said, popping his head up from the sofa. Stooped over, Bezug walked to the tome, picked it up, and returned it to the table.
"Sorry,"
he said, resuming his seat and rubbing his blurring violet eyes. Ben made his way over, put his hand on the part elf's sagging shoulder, and said,
"We'll find him."
"I've failed them,"
Bezug said, shaking his head.
"I should have been here with them. I just don't understand what happened. And now they could be anywhere."
He and Ben had returned to Quintuclin weeks ago, but there was trouble long before that. After Nath departed with Celine on the back of the Inferno, Bezug had tried to contact Sasha, but hadn't been able to. With haste, he had returned home accompanied by Ben. The two of them had met with a foul greeting. Acolytes of Barnabas greeted them at the gates. They had Rary's swords and a ring he'd given to Samaz. Their warning was firm.
"Remain in the city, go nowhere else,"
they had said.
"And when the time comes, we'll contact you with our demands. Cross us, do anything suspicious, and you will never see them alive again."
That was over a month ago, and Bezug had been frosty ever since. The waiting game was torment, and there hadn't been any word from Barnabas's camp. There was nothing worse than fighting an opponent that you could not see while he held your loved ones. Ben slid the tome over to himself and thumbed through the pages.
"So, there isn't any way to track them down? I know you've been poring through this day and night, but can't you summon the Picklins or something?"
"Too risky,"
the part elf wizard said.
"There are too many dragons that would gobble them up."
"I wish they'd gobble some of those soldiers up," Ben said. "They keep coming. I thought this was a time of truce. It looks more like a siege to me."
Bezug brushed his long black hair out of his eyes and said,
"Indeed."
Every day he and Ben walked the streets and overheard the conversations of people. The armies continued to stretch their grip through the land, invading city after city, without fire and force, but filling them with armed soldiers. Armies of thousands camped outside the cities. High-ranking officers and overlords worked with the leaders of Quintuclin from within. Everything seemed backward. Something strange was going on. It twisted Bezog's stomach. As for Sasha and his sons, he had no idea if they were even in the city of Quintuclin. Were they well cared for? Tortured? Or starved? He and Ben had walked the streets hour after hour, trying to find signs of anything without asking questions. They had to be careful. The eyes of Barnabas were everywhere. No one could be trusted.
"You want to go for a walk?"
Ben said. He stood by the mantel, near where Akron and Fang hung from the wall.
"I could use some air, and I need to stretch my legs."
He buckled a belt with a sword to his waist.
"Can never be too careful when you pop your head out these days."
Ben had been good to him. A stalwart, rugged, and seasoned soldier, deep-chested and lean-hipped, the durable fighter was always ready for any takers. The streets were safer when he was around.
"Let me gather some things,"
Bezug said, heading back toward the bedrooms. Inside by his bed sat Brenoir's chest. He popped it open, grabbed a few items, set them on the bed, and closed the lid. On his way out, he stopped and ran his fingers over the elderwood staff. The gemstone eyes inside the woven wood at the top of the staff twinkled at him. He wanted to set its power loose on his enemies. But they had his family. And at the moment, he didn't even know where they were.
Patience. I must have more patience. Let time reveal their plotting.
Shackles dragged over the dank corridor's floor. Samaz, Rary, and Sasha, one behind the other, followed two guards up front and were harried by two behind. Lizardmen, coated in metal armor carrying spears, prodded them along. For weeks they'd been moved from one location to another, marched, dragged, transported in barred wagons. They slept in dungeons, barns, stables, and forts filled with their vile enemies. Their captors didn't say a word to them. The woman who had bewitched them was nowhere to be found. Samaz didn't understand any of it. The lizard men opened a pair of double doors. The air was stale and rank within. A cool breeze wavered the flames on the torches they carried. The guards shoved them along into the darkness.
"What is this place, serpent?"
Rary said, pushing back against the lizard man. A second lizard man came and locked up his other arm. They picked Rary up off the floor.
"Unhand me, snake face!"
The lizard man walloped him in the gut.
"Oh, no!"
Sasha cried out, rushing toward him. A lizard man jerked her by the chain collar right off her feet.
"Mother!"
Rary cried out. Samaz rushed to her aid. She choked and coughed.
"I'm all right,"
she said, rubbing her neck.
"Just do as they say."
They tossed Rary into the room first, followed by his mother and then Samaz. The door closed, and they bolted it shut from the other side. The only light came from torches outside the barred window. Samaz covered his nose. So did Rary, who squinted in the dim light. Someone else was in the dim chamber with them.
"Dead,"
Rary said, shielding his mother. The dead eyes of a goblin's rotting corpse stared right at them.
"I'm sorry, my sons,"
Sasha said.
"So sorry."
The giant toppled over. Brenwar eyed a large dent in the giant's bronze helm and grunted.
"That's the last of them,"
he said, hopping down from the giant's chest.
"But with any fortune, we'll run into another nest of them tomorrow."
Shum spun his great spear around. It retracted with every twirl. He wiped the blood that wetted its tip off the grass.
"I'm surprised there are so many,"
Shum said. He put his fingers to his lips and made a sharp whistle.
"But times are changing."
Times are gonna be changed back then,"
Brenwar said, hefting Warhammer over his burly shoulder.
"Even if I have to crack the skulls of all of them."
Two massive men, over 15 feet tall each, lay dead on the ground. Each carried a club of iron as heavy as a man. Their armor was steel, forged by men and orcs. Brenwar could tell by the craftsmanship. He shook his head.
I miss the days when I hunted the giant raiders. Now they hunt us."
Shum's steed trotted from the woodland to his side. Other figures on horseback followed, Hoven and the other roaming rangers.
"How many?"
Brenwar asked.
"One."
"One? I swear I heard at least three."
"You did,"
Hoven said, holding a rag against a bloody gash on his head.
"And the other two lie at your feet."
Brenwar harumphed. He hadn't parted with the roaming rangers since they battled together near the river cities. Every day had been a battle of sorts ever since. Worst of all, he'd gotten used to their company. Now, having escorted Bezog and Ben back to Quintuclin, They had been chased south of Morgdon, his home. He wiped the sweat from his head.
Any of you potbellies have a horn of ale to spare?
The stone-faced wilder elves didn't bat an eye.
Didn't think so.
Brenwar turned and faced south, looking toward the Mountain of Doom, or Dragon Home. Shum had said the Dragon King, Balzor, would send help. He hadn't seen any yet. It tore at him. Nath's departure was even worse. Shum reminded him often that help was coming, and Brenwar believed it. But would it get here before they all met their end? It started to rain.
Good,
he said. A chestnut steed with double stirrups nuzzled his side. Brenwar climbed on.
Lead the way,
Brenwar said.
Where?
Said Shum.
I don't know,
he said.
I need to think. But I'm sure we'll run into something that wants to kill us soon enough. Oversized lizards and oversized men. Ha! What's next? Oversized orcs?
He grunted.
Just ride toward Morgdon. I'm tired of looking at you elves.
Without a word, Shum led the way. Within minutes, sheets of rain were soaking the forest. But Brenwar didn't notice a single drop. His thoughts were far away. The armies of Barnabas were everywhere, growing like ivy that crept up castle walls. Dragons cruised the skies, perched in the high rocks, dove through the towns and cities, sometimes snatching people off the ground. The war might be on hold, but the torment was not. Uncertainty filled Brenwar's mind. Doubt churned in his stomach, not for himself, but for Nath Dragon. His friend had bargained with the dark forces of Barnabas and saved them all from the Sky Raiders and Inferno. Brenwar would have rather fought and died than seen Nath go the way he did. Evil had a way of changing a man.
I don't think he's ready for it.
In the meantime, the armies of Barnabas didn't strike, but every brooding race and monster popped out of the thickets. Hill giants, cave trolls, bugbears, rogue poachers. Certain there was a bounty on their heads, they avoided the towns and cities. Occasionally, he and the roaming rangers would get within earshot of troops that were moving, or farmers in the fields. They knew enough. They rode day and night until the clean edges of Morgdon's walls were in sight.
Are you going in?
Shum said to him. Brenwar ran his stubby fingers through the graying hairs of his beard. His life in Morgdon was another lifetime ago. He grunted a small laugh. He hadn't been back since Nath turned himself into a bat and flew away. He shrugged his armored shoulders.
Might as well. It's time they knew everything that I know.